Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Covering your teams and the news of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace.
It was pleasant to listen to.
With Caroline Fenton, Willie Donick, and former NFL wide receiver Derek Mason.
You are hands down my favorite radio personalities of all time.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
With no further ado,
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. 102.5, 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. We are live out here day two of SEC Media Days in the Grand Hyatt in downtown Nashville. Shout out to all of our SEC Media Day sponsors. Our SEC Media Days coverage is brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Mercedes-Benz of Music City. Day two. Willie D, D-Mace, how we doing?
Hey, doing well. Tuesday, nice day outside. Well, at least now. It's supposed to rain later on today. Big storm coming through.
I'll tell you what, I've done this now. I've parked over at the arena.
Uh-huh.
And then I walk over. Uh-huh. It takes me about an hour to stop sweating, it seems like, just walking down the thing. It's sticky out there.
It is soupy outside. Yeah, it is muggy. And I believe that Kirby Smart is still up at the podium after his 20-minute filibuster about youth baseball and all this other stuff that
nobody
cares about. Oh, they know how to run
clock. Talking about his new chicken recipe. I don't know why they want to
get that. I do not care, Kirby. Talk about the 400 speeding violations on
exactly.
your team. I don't care about your son's travel ball team. But Clark Lee was up at the podium today. Kirby Smart is up at the podium as well. So another packed day at SEC Media Days. Tim Hasselbeck will join us in 1 hour. Paul Feinbaum will join us at 12:30. We've got a bunch of SEC news that we need to break down. League news, Vandy news, our thoughts on what we've heard so far this week. But I want to start again on D-Hop. Because Michael Lombardi, he's on the DraftKings GM Shuffle podcast, and of course, it's not just the biggest news in our city, but it's one of the biggest stories across the entire league. And I was talking about yesterday, hallelujah, thank you, the Titans got DeAndre Hopkins, the Titans needed DeAndre Hopkins, but Michael Lombardi was not nearly as enthusiastic about the Titans landing D-Hop than we were.
But to me, this is one of those situations, Femi, where I call it curly in the boat. And I wrote about this in Gridiron Genius. This is one of those situations where the Three Stooges are in a rowboat and they're fishing and a fish jumps into the rowboat. And, you know, Curly gets his axe out and he's going to kill the fish in the boat and he creates a hole. And now we've got water coming in the boat. So Mo naturally tells Curly we got to let the water out. So he finds a drill, and he starts drilling another hole to let the water from the first hole out. And now he's got two holes in the boat. I think this is what happened with John Robinson. You know, trading A.J. Brown created two holes in the boat. It sunk for him, you know, by being so, you know, reticent about not bringing A.J. Brown back at 25 years old. Now they're forced to sign a 31-year-old who's kind of towards the end of his career, who doesn't have the same burst or a big play ability that Brown had. And it really looks like it solved the problem, but to me, it just amplifies the situation. When you don't do something and you think you have the solution, you make the problem worse.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would argue that A.J. Brown is a better player in 2023 than DeAndre Hopkins. However, I guess my only pushback with that would be that Hopkins comes at a much cheaper price, doesn't he? I mean, like, Hopkins is still getting decent money, but A.J. Brown's at $100 million or whatever over 5 years.
Well, he got $100 million over 5 years, but if you look at the first 2 years of the contract, if you look at the payout, the first 2 years of the contract is $32 million in cash. Now, he's got more guarantees, but he's younger. So when you're doing guarantees, you're saying how long can he go? So this deal was reported to be $26 million over two. So for $6 million more cash, you could have had A.J. Brown, plus you would have had more guarantees. I'm not sure that's a bad deal. Like, I don't think – I think to me this is a deal in the sense I'll push back to your pushback. Like, who are they competing against at these numbers? New England was no way going to be at this number.
No.
Kansas City wasn't going to be at this number. They were competing against desperation. They were competing against their depth chart. They were competing against they don't have a receiver. That's who they were competing against.
Again, that was Michael Lombardi on the GM Shuffle podcast. And they were competing against desperation. That's what the Titans needed to do. They had to give a better offer than New England. They had to give a better offer than Kansas City if they wanted to get DeAndre Hopkins. And honestly, I can make the argument that the Titans needed DeAndre Hopkins because they had no other option. But I feel like that this is going to be a theme over the next couple of years with the Titans in the wide receiver position. I think it'll always go back to AJ.
Oh, yeah. We knew the minute they made that trade it was going to go back to AJ. There's a lot. I enjoyed the discussion. I do think they're leaving some things out that should be, you know, if you're being fair about it. It's very Captain Obvious to say, well, you should have just kept A.J. Brown.
Yeah,
you know,
duh.
It's pretty easy to do that.
Yeah.
You know, but it wasn't in a vacuum that they did this. They knew that what it was going to cost. And so if you kept A.J. Brown, he was going to cost, what, 25?
Yeah, 25 million.
Anywhere, and that would have messed up. That would have changed your entire salary cap, right? So you got to keep that in mind. It's A.J. Brown as opposed to DeAndre Hopkins and Treylon Burks at about half of the price or, you know, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, way less. Let's just say that safely.
Yeah, it would have been much less. But, you know, it doesn't. You know, negate the fact that, as Lombardi said, as you have echoed, Caroline, that this, and we've said this for the longest, this was a move that they had to execute. It wasn't we tried, we gave a valiant effort. No, you had to do whatever you needed to do as a organization to make sure you got him inside your building with a contract, regardless of how the season goals for him, you had to get him inside the building because of what happened 2 years ago, because of what happened, well, a year ago with A.J. Brown. And they're always, I think, they're always going to be chasing that unless not DeAndre Hopkins, unless Treylon Burks materialize into a bona fide stud. He will always be compared to A.J. Brown. You know, it's just like it's sort of similar in a way to, and you remember this, Willie, to Kevin Dyson and Randy Moss. They draft Kevin Dyson. Randy Moss goes to Minnesota, and Randy Moss is a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Kevin got derailed by injury, and for those years, they always compared Randy to Kevin, which, you know, Had Kevin stayed healthy, he would have had a much better career.
And it's easy to compare that. And it's also like with Stephon Diggs and Justin Jefferson.
Absolutely.
The Vikings traded Stephon Diggs in order to draft Justin Jefferson. Nobody compares those two.
Well, because it worked.
And it worked right away.
Exactly. It wasn't okay, let's wait and see. Justin Jefferson came in and was on fire.
Right.
With this situation, and A.J. Brown and Treylon Burks and now DeAndre Hopkins, because Treylon it's taken him a while and he dealt with injuries, people are always going to look back at, well, why did you trade him? You went through $10 million. And Lombardi didn't bring this up, Willie, Caroline. You wasted $10 million in draft picks on Julio Jones. Then you had to pay DeAndre Hopkins $15 million. So, in essence, you went over what you were going to have to pay for A.J. Brown. You might as well have paid A.J. Brown because you gave up picks, you gave up $10 million, and you got to pay DeAndre Hopkins $15.
But also at the time, when John Robinson made that move, I understood it. Let's not forget.
I understood it, yes.
A.J. Brown was hurt a lot. A.J. Brown was kind of becoming a problem on social media. He was being a mouthpiece. So I saw the thought process. And while it hasn't come to fruition yet after one season, I can't all of a sudden say, well, that was a dumb move and you should have just paid him because he wasted all this money on receivers anyway, because the move at the time made sense.
I'm not going to say it was a dumb move. I think it was a miscalculation.
Mm-hmm. It hasn't worked out yet.
Yeah, it hasn't worked out.
And it might never work
okay,
out.
Okay, we draft this rookie. We'll run our offense through Derrick Henry, and we'll be fine until this rookie sort of comes on. We'll bring another veteran guy in, let it all work out. Uh-huh. But it hasn't worked out. You brought in Robert Woods. It didn't work out. You drafted Treylon Burks last year. It didn't work out last year. This year will be something different. So, to me, it wasn't a dumb move. It was just a miscalculation by a GM that was used to operating from that standpoint. Go back to where he's coming from. New England, they operate from the standpoint of one guy is not bigger than the team. We're not going to sacrifice, you know, salary cap because of one person. They didn't even sacrifice the salary cap for Tom Brady. Now, Tom probably had a lot to do with that. Like, listen, just give me my guys and I'll be fine. But other than that, no, this is what New England does.
Also a bad decision to not accommodate for Tom Brady. To not, you know, bend the knee to Tom Brady and give him whatever he wanted. So I get it. I understand Michael Lombardi's thought process of, you know, A.J. Brown over the next 2 years is making 33.25. Mm-hmm. You're paying DeAndre Hopkins 26. You could say, well, it's much worth your $6 extra million to just go ahead and pay A.J. Brown.
But you're not necessarily paying him 26. You're paying him
it's the full
12
deal.
This year. And then you see about next year.
And it's also, A.J. Brown wasn't going to take a 2-year deal.
Yeah, A.J. Brown, if he falters, you're on the hook for a lot of dead money, which it's not likely. But as you said, he has gotten hurt some. Round one is an absolute home run for the Eagles with the way it worked out. There's no getting around that. But this does not have to be a disastrous move. And remember, Rand Carthon inherited this situation. Mm-hmm. He inherited it. Mm-hmm. So you can't play him. He's coming in trying to make the best of the situation here.
We're not blaming Rand for
exactly,
this. Yeah.
Exactly. But Lombardi didn't point that out in his thing. He's not separating that Rand Carthon comes in after Robinson made the move.
It's two different general managers. Mm-hmm. And what is Rand supposed to do?
Right.
Just not address the wide receiver position because they should have held on to A.J. Brown?
That shouldn't have been put on Rand. That's what I'm saying. It shouldn't have been put on Rand to make that move, because now if the move doesn't work out, who are they pointing to? The GM for making the move. That's who they're going to point at. Maybe not necessarily the organization, but everybody outside the organization from a national standpoint. They're going to point at Rand Carthon for making the call to go and get D-Hop and pay him that much money.
He's leaving out a lot of important details of the situation when he goes, because it's very easy from afar to say, what were they doing? Should have just kept A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. That's oversimplifying what that was whole about, and I think people here understand that more. The only thing that really caught my attention as I was listening, for him being a GM, mm-hmm. he didn't think they had to go as high to get Hopkins to come here. He thought that they could have stuck to a lower price and still outbid the Patriots and the Chiefs. I found that interesting. I don't know if he's dead on right, what he's got. I mean, he is a GM. He just thought that was going higher than you needed to go 2 years. But remember, after 1 year, a 2-year deal becomes a 1-year deal. They are not going to be on the hook for a lot of money if it doesn't go well. That's important. I just wonder if for the $12 million, are they going to have to shuffle some things around to make sure they keep enough cushion in their cap this year to make additions, subtractions during the year if they want to add somebody? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm curious about. Will they have to move some money on Harold Landry's contract or something just to make this work? That's where you don't want to be on the hook for future dead money if you can do it, because there's a lot riding on this move this year.
Well, let's get into that coming up next, because Michael Lombardi did say he thought the Titans overpaid for DeAndre Hopkins. Do we agree? Are we against it? Are we for it? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, and D-Maze for live out here at SEC Media Days, Day 2, Grand Hyatt, Nashville, in downtown Nashville. 1025-1063, the game.
Let's start with that DeAndre Hopkins news that we saw, Michael, yesterday. Yeah. It was 2 years, $26 million. Hopkins signs with the Tennessee Titans. And it sort of felt like this was coming because we all talked about how Tennessee was going to make the most aggressive offer. They felt like they had the biggest need at wide receiver, and it comes to fruition. Hopkins is reuniting with Mike Vrabel and Tim Kelly out there in Nashville.
You know, I think this is another situation. The betting odds on Sunday were heating up for Kansas City, and a lot of this was due to the fact that they wanted to bring Juju Schuster back, Smith-Schuster back, but they couldn't afford him. And New England just made a really good offer for Smith-Schuster that, you know, Kansas City couldn't even get close to, so he had to take the money. I think the same thing happened here. I think Kansas City was in pursuit, but I think Hopkins just got way too much money for Kansas City to say, significantly more than what Smith-Schuster got from New England. So on a two-year deal.
That was Mike Lombardi on the GM Shuffle podcast, of course, former NFL general manager. He said he thinks the Titans overpaid for DeAndre Hopkins. Do we?
I think they did because they were not truly competing with anyone else, I don't think, in regards to, you know, paying over X amount of dollars. I think they more or less had to just so, you know, it was going to be, you know, for D-Hop, it was going to be a no-brainer for him. Obviously, you know, we know he waited, a week or two before he actually, you know, decided to sign with Tennessee. But I think in that time span or even before that, I don't really think they were competing with anyone. I think
New England?
I think New England's thing was, listen, we're going to offer you X amount of dollars, this much. Mm-hmm. We're not going above that because they had more money under their salary cap to go above what they probably previously offered. But I think they were banking on the love affair that Bill has with, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, and I'm sure DeAndre respects Bill and what he's done, that he played, you know, under their offensive coordinator. So I think they were putting a lot of stock into that. We're New England. Mm-hmm. We are the franchise everybody wants to be. They played more into that, into the actual, rather than the actual dollar numbers. The Titans had to play into the dollar number and the relationship with Tim Kelly. However good that has been, I don't know how good it was when he was in Houston. But they played on that. They played on a Vrabel relationship. And more importantly, because I don't care how good of a relationship I have with you, what it boils down to is dollars and cents.
Money.
Yeah.
Money.
And they had to play on the dollars and cents. We are the team that is desperate enough that we're going to offer you the most money.
And Mike Reese reported that the Patriots had $10 million on the table for DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. Compared to what the Titans offered him, $12 million in year one with incentives up to $15.
It wasn't even close.
I don't think that's overpaying. I think it's sweetening the pot to make him feel better about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that $12 million in year one, it's not drastically overpaying compared to the $10 million that New England had on the table. And if they don't offer more than New England, he's going to New England.
Of course he will, but yeah. It's okay. We got to look at it from these two aspects. Even though I think they may have overpaid, the only reason I think they overpaid because they were only competing with themselves. Anytime you're competing with yourself, it's like at a you know, auction. If you're the only person raising up the sign, who else are you competing with?
Yeah,
you
so jacked no up the price.
Exactly.
Up.
There's no reason to keep it up unless, you know, somebody comes in. So I say they overpaid because they were only competing with themselves.
But they were competing with New England.
They really weren't. Honestly, they really wasn't. That's why they were so confident when he left. Like, he will be back. Don't worry about it. Because they knew no one else was going to offer him the money that they were. But then again, I don't think they overpaid from this standpoint. Because $15 million for a number two receiver with his numbers is a bargain. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want him to be your number one, then you're paying him to be a two. But if he ends up your number one, then something's wrong. Mm-hmm. He's getting underpaid if you ask him to be your one. But I don't think the production will be there in regards to a one. So they paid him to be a two, which is they didn't overpay for him to be a two because we got starters that are making more money than he's making. We have number twos that are making right around the same amount that he's making. If you are a number two in this league, a viable number two, a guy with his numbers, then anywhere from 15 to 12 is a bargain for. It's a good number for number two. So in that essence, they didn't overpay because they want him to be his number two. But if they're paying him to be a number one, he's underpaid.
I don't know if we have any real knowledge of what the Patriots were offering. Lombardi seems to think that they just couldn't go very high. But I think they had that. Most of the reports I was seeing that they had more cap space than the Titans. And they had already signed Juju Smith-Schuster. So I think they probably, in their own budget, probably didn't feel like they could offer Hopkins way more than they offered Schuster. The speculation was they maybe offered him about the same that they offered Juju. Mm-hmm. But either way, I don't have a problem with it if you overpaid for the first year. The key is keeping yourself flexible,
right?
Because we know next year there's a whole lot of stuff that's got to shake out. If you're going to run it back again with the veterans, that's going to be complicated. If you're going to, you might want to hit the reset button and go full youth movement or at least partial youth movement. You don't want to be on the hook for a lot of big contracts. Remember, Big Jeff's contract kicks in next year. There's a lot of things to consider. So, to me, you front-load the contract as much as you can. That's why I'm curious. We still don't know the details of if they were able to do that and could they get him in this year without moving stuff around, hopefully not having to cut anybody. I suspect that they might have to move some money around with Landry. That's the one little card that they haven't played. And we have no idea if Landry can bounce back and be a great player anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't know. I'd like to think that he'll bounce back, but we know about first year back from an injury.
And that's the key, too, with the Ops contract. The Titans have given them flexibility. Titans have given themselves versatility. If they want to bring him back for that second year, you can do that. And you don't have to make up your mind right now. If DeAndre Hopkins has a year this year with the Titans, more reminiscent of Julio than what he was, what D-Hop was 4 or 5 years ago, then you can get yourself out of that contract. You have the flexibility and the versatility to be able to make your mind up about that year too.
But if he has over 1,000 yards, say if he's the leading, receiver, he maybe he has like 80 catches and he has over 1,000 yards. Well, he's going to want more money. Either way, he's going to want more money in that second year because his first year is an audition for him, I believe. It's an audition for him to get more money down the line. This guy's already said, I want to play until I'm 37. Mm-hmm. So, him playing under this contract can only be a two-year deal. He's going to want more guarantees in regards to years moving forward. So if he comes out and he's their leading receiver, he has over 1,000 yards, he has close to where he has been in his career, he's going to want a new deal that second year.
And if I'm the Titans, I'll cross that bridge when you come to it. And it's also a really good problem to have.
Yeah, it is.
If DeAndre Hopkins has over 1,000 yards.
If your team is winning.
Yes.
It's a great problem to have.
That's what I think Lombardi and those guys are selling short. When you made the deal, they're hammering, well, you got a one. They just don't believe in Burks. But if Hopkins can make Burks' pathway better, it's like we talked about the philosophy of Barry Trotz, trying to put the right guys to allow the young players you think have a chance to be really good to play and have a pathway to success. That's a huge thing because win or lose this year, that's something you really need to see long term. You need Burks to become a good player. Lombardi and those guys clearly don't value Burks at all. They looked at his stats last year and they're like, it didn't work out. They don't think he's going to be any good. I still have hope, and I think Derek absolutely has hope that he can turn into a very good receiver. And that's the key to this whole thing.
I don't think it's a fair evaluation after year one. I don't.
Oh, of
no,
course.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
If D-Mace would have been written off after year one, and the guy should be a Hall of Famer.
Right. Like, when do we give first-round picks just 1 year to prove themselves?
Yeah.
We don't.
Never.
We don't.
You shouldn't.
Coming up next, John McClain, Sports Radio 610, will join us. He is familiar with the AFC South. He's familiar with D-Hop throughout his time with Houston and also that marriage between Tim Kelly and DeAndre Hopkins. He will join us coming up next to give all of his thoughts on the D-Hop to the Titans contract. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Billy D-Mace, 1025, 106.3 The Game. line. Willie DeMays, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Live out here at SEC Media Days, Grand Hyatt, downtown Nashville. And joining us now is John McClain of Sports Radio 610 in Houston. John, appreciate you for joining the show. DeAndre Hopkins is coming to Tennessee, and it was the news story heard around Nashville on Sunday. The Titans signing DeAndre Hopkins to a two-year deal worth $26 million, up to $32 in incentives. Your thoughts on the fit with the Titans, the length of the contract, and the amount of money that he's making?
First of all, guys, thank you very much for having me on, especially during SEC media days. I want to apologize. I'm sitting on my porch on the Chesapeake Bay, and a truck just went by my front door. Now, hopefully, the only thing you'll hear are birds from now on. I think D-Hop was a great
guy. Now we're jealous. We're jealous, John.
You guys should be. And D-Hop was a great signing. Doesn't matter what kind of money he got. If the Titans didn't have it, they wouldn't have done it. They put the incentives in there to give him a chance to make another $3 million. He got more than I thought. Originally, he went into free agency hoping to get what Odell Beckham Jr. got, 15. Then it went down to 10, and his agent, who he hired right before free agency, did a good job. And I believe, and nobody else will believe me on this, knowing how bad his relationship was with Bill O'Brien here, and they can play it down all they wanted, but I covered him every day for his whole career. And he and O'Brien had a terrible relationship, and it wasn't D-Op's fault. It was O'Brien's fault because he wanted everybody. He kind of wanted robots who would all act the same way, and that just wasn't Hop's style. And so he traded him in what was the second worst trade in Houston football history, and they've never recovered from that. And so I've said on my shows in Houston, and I've written in my columns on sportsradio610.com, I'm happy for the Titans. I wish him the best, and he'll look great wearing that Columbia blue of the Oilers when the Texans play up there. And that just drives all the fans crazy when I say that.
But pushing buttons down there,
I mean,
John.
It. Yeah, I mean it. It's going to be great for talk shows. It's going to be great for columnists. And Hop, one good thing to remember, guys, he has not been used up the last 2 years. All the beating he takes from double coverages, he hadn't 15 games he didn't play. So it's almost like he's got an extra season. And since speed was never his strength, that's why he was a 28th. pick, he's not going to lose a step if he didn't have it. You know, his strength has always been getting off the line of scrimmage, great hands, great route running, physical, takes the ball away, goes hard on every play. I think it was a great move for the Titans.
And I'm glad you bring that up, John. John McClain is with us. Is D-Hop still the D-Hop that we know?
Well, nobody's going to know that because he hadn't done it since his first year in Arizona. He said, two injuries, one to his knee, and then he had his suspension last year. He's going to be very motivated, as he tweeted about the doubters. He always played hard. O'Brien had a problem with him because he hardly ever practices. He's always got these mysterious ailments, but in his 6 years with Texans, he only missed two games. And one, he was on crutches the last game of 17 season, Vrabel's last season there. And Hop said, if this game meant anything, it was the last game, and it meant nothing, he said, I'd find a way to play, even though he had a broken bone. And that was just his mentality. So we're not going to know till we see him. But I think for the reasons I just mentioned, and a lot of it has to do with the quarterback. You know, he had a great quarterback here when Watson came in 17. But even when he had different quarterbacks like Brock Osweiler, he still was a great receiver.
We're talking with John McClain, Sports Radio 610 there in Houston. Now, John, you mentioned, you know, with the last 2 years with D-Hop and him missing games, one due to injury and then obviously the other due to suspension. Should that be a concern moving forward? Because as you know, as receivers age in this sport, you start missing games toward the latter part of your career, then that becomes a concern for an organization.
Well, Derek, you would certainly know that since you played that position, but there's things you do to compensate, as you know. If you do start to lose a step, it becomes your experience. you know, what you have the advantage over cornerbacks that may be younger that have not learned to do the things you do. And I tell you who's going to benefit the most is Burks, because Hop's going to – nobody's going to cover him man-to-man on most teams. He'll have to have an extra guy on him. So Burks is going to get single coverage. And since most guys make their biggest improvement from the first and second year, I would think Burks is going to be a lot better. But I know Mike Vrabel and, boy, Rand Cawthorn and Tim Kelly. Tim coached him 6 years here. Now, Vrabel had him 4 years. They know him inside and out. And I kept tweeting and saying on my talk shows that he should go to the Titans where they know him. Don't go to the Patriots and be reunited with Bill O'Brien and take a chance on the same problems. Go to Tennessee, and it's good that they gave him the best offer, and he did. But we're not going to know Derek until we see him in a game. You know, they're not going to use him up in preseason or joint practices or anything like that. So I think he will start off really well, and hopefully he never had a serious injury, and hopefully the injury issues, and he didn't miss a lot of games because of injuries the last 2 years, but it's some, which he'd never done before. You always worry about it, but you never know till you see him in action.
Now, John, the 1 year under Tim Kelly, when Tim Kelly was the offensive coordinator in Houston, that's where DeAndre Hopkins spent the bulk of his time, or the most percentages, inside the slot. I think it was 37%. Prior to that, he didn't spend that much time in the slot. Now that his career has gotten a little bit older, what would be the most effective way to use D-Hop? Is it putting him in a slot and allowing him to have sort of that two- or three-way break, meaning right, left, or up the field?
One of the things they do was, because if you line him up outside all the time, then defenses are going to have a guy right on top of him and another guy behind him. If you put him in motion, or you put him in slot, start him in the backfield, let him roll out, I mean, go in motion, it keeps them guessing. So because in the slot you rely on quickness more than speed, I would think, you know, he's good enough to play anywhere. It doesn't matter. And when Tim Kelly was here, Tim was coached different areas his whole time. And Bill O'Brien finally let him call plays, and he did a great job. 2019, he and Watson were prolific. Watson was tremendous, throwing to everybody. And I remember they beat the Patriots in prime time, and Hopkins threw a touchdown pass to Watson. And those were good days until Bill O'Brien decided to trade him. And it still galls Texans fans that he got traded, because he's second best receiver in franchise history, and Andre Johnson. But he's smart enough to play anywhere you want to. He's a hard worker. He can do just about anything you want except beat people on post routes.
We're talking to John McClain, and John, we're jealous about the Chesapeake Bay, but you should know that the alternative would have been being here in your element, surrounded by plaster, Withrow, Jonathan Hutton. I mean, just compare Chesapeake Bay to what you could have had here at SEC Media Days. Come on.
Truthfully, guys, I've always wanted to go to SEC Media Days because I've never covered colleges. This is my 48th year covering the NFL, and I've known what a big deal it is, because I've always read, listened, because I've been on Nashville radio now for 27 years. I've become a big SEC fan, and I'm glad you guys are getting to University of Texas, because that means they're not going to win. While you brought up SEC Media Days, I've got to tell you, as someone who grew up with the University of Texas, the bad thing about them leaving is because there's nothing like beating them if you're a fan of the other teams. And they haven't won the Big 12 since 2009. They're going to get their butts handed to them in the SEC and deserve everything they get.
That is going to be fun.
We've got SEC Tech Media Days sitting next to us, so I'm sure they would have loved to have heard you talk about how much the Longhorns are going to get whooped next season.
Yeah, SEC Media Days will be in Dallas next year, by the way, they announced. Pretty interesting. So, John, I think a lot of people would love your perspective on this. Do you think, because there's so much riding on DeAndre Hopkins playing well, but also maybe him making a guy like Treylon Burks better. Do you think he'll be a good influence on young receivers around him?
Oh, if Burks has questions, he'll answer them. You know, he's not a vocal guy. He keeps to himself. I always liked him because he was very cooperative with the media, and he never dodged us. And I liked working with him. He's one of my favorite players to cover from a selfish standpoint. You hate to lose the ones who are good talkers, and he was. And I think Burke's watching him now. If you're looking for a guy that's going to go all out and practice, you better look somewhere else. But if you watch him prepare for a game off the field in the classroom with the position players, and then you watch that tape on game day, yes, Burks will learn a lot from watching DeAndre Hopkins.
Another question we're asking, and John, you've seen a lot of receivers as they age, you know, their roles might change, and the longer you can adapt, the longer you stay in the league. Hopkins is one of those guys that has been a high-volume target guy, you know, 150, 160 balls thrown his way. We know the Titans love to run. Do you think he'll be okay if he's getting the ball thrown to him some weeks 5 to 7 times as opposed to 10, 12 times?
I think that even though Hop will want the ball, if Derrick Henry is rushing, and I just predicted on my station in Houston before I came on with you guys, I think Henry will lead the league in rushing because – for a couple of reasons. Number one, that's what Mike Vrabel likes to do. Vrabel knows the offense is best when he's running the ball. I think having Hop in the lineup will be like A.J. Brown will help Derrick Henry. And, you know, you want to get everything you can get from running backs while you can. And then what are the odds Tannehill's going to stay healthy? And then if you're playing Will Levis, you're going to have to run the ball even more. DeAndre Hopkins wants to win. He started off winning in Arizona, they went straight down the toilet, and he knows, and others know. Everybody acts like Jacksonville's going to run away the division. That's the same way they sounded in 2018 when they almost went to the Super Bowl, and they went straight down the toilet. So I think a team that the best chance of overtaking the Jaguars would be the Titans, led by Derrick Henry and DeAndre Hopkins, and if Ryan Tannehill could stay healthy.
John, we talked a lot here about the Titans and D-Hop. What about your Houston Texans there? They're ushering in, you know, a new head coach in DeMeco Ryans. You know, I'm sure his defense will be lights out. But from an offensive standpoint, having a new quarterback, a young quarterback, how do you think this team will fare?
First of all, people are really fired up about DeMeco. You know, he was a great player here. He was a popular player. Every team that had an opening wanted him. He only interviewed with two, Denver and Houston. And he told me before he was hired, this would be his dream job. So the fans, the players, the ex-players, they all came out for his first news conference. Everybody's pumped. The media. Now, there's no illusions of grandeur that they're going to compete for the playoffs. People know they've won 4-4-3 games the last 3 years. But they're fired up because they want to see improvement. They know C.J. Stroud's second overall pick is going to have growing pains. I mean, that's a fact. Will Anderson Jr. is the favorite to be Defensive Rookie of the Year, just like Bijan Robinson is the favorite to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. And their defense has been pathetic against the run for 4 years. And DeMeco Ryans said, well, you just have to stop it. And I said, well, then you better suit up again because they're going to need to play 12 or 13 guys to stop the run, considering how bad they've been. And nobody knows that better than Derrick Henry, who has just abused them. So they've got to be able to run the ball better and stop the run. And those two things would help C.J. Stroud a lot.
John McClain, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. Appreciate you for joining us. Appreciate your D-Hop insight. We'll chat with you soon.
Guys, it's my pleasure. Thank you. Great being on with you again, Willie.
All right. Yeah, good to talk to you, John, as always.
Enjoy Chesapeake Bay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, John. Appreciate you. We've got a bunch of texts in our text line on what John had to say, some of our discussion about DeAndre Hopkins. So we'll get right into your text coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace is brought to you by the new Zen Sportsbook. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. 1025-1063, the game.
Hop, one good thing to remember, guys, he has not been used up the last 2 years. All the beating he takes from double coverages, he hadn't 15 games he didn't play, so it's almost like he's got an extra season. And since speed was never his strength, that's why he was a 28th pick. He's not going to lose a step if he didn't have it. You know, his strength has always been getting off the line of scrimmage, great hands, great route running, physical, takes the ball away, goes hard on every play. I think it was a great move for the Titans.
There you go. That was John McClain, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. Thinks it was a great signing for the Titans. But there was another little tidbit in there that John McClain mentioned. He said, if you're looking for a guy who's going to go super hard in practice, DeAndre Hopkins probably isn't your guy.
And that was in the context, too, of, you know, what's it going to be like to have him around? What kind of influence he's going to have on Treylon Burks?
Right.
And I do hope that because of the background with Tim Kelly, the background with Mike Vrabel, that they know him well enough that they've envisioned this. I'm sure they've thought about this a lot. But you did hear that a lot, D-Mace, that he doesn't practice much.
And, you know,
Are you worried about that part?
I don't want to be worried about it because his production has always been contrary to what people say about his practice habits. His production has always been there. And maybe when you have the skill set that he has, you don't feel there's a need for you to go hard in practice. And I think that's a mistake. I've always said about fast guys, like, unless you learn how to run a route, after a while, I would neutralize your speed. If you're just a one-trick pony, I would neutralize your speed as a defensive coordinator. Or as you start to get older, you start losing a little bit of that speed. So I sort of worry about that. With D-Hop, I'm saying that because as you start to get older, those practice times mean something to you because it takes your body a minute to get worked up. So you got to practice good habits. I've always been a stickler of guys that don't come in and practice good habits, because if you practice good habits, it translates to the field. It's just weird because you hear this about D-Hop on a practice field, but then you watch the tape and it's like, man, this kid can play.
He's very technically sound with his route running. And
but
does...
when you have a young receiver, a possibly impressionable receiver watching you during practice, and if he sees that you're not giving it your all, I just think there's something wrong with that. I come from the school of thought, like, listen, when I go on a practice field, once I step across those lines and we're on offense, I am going hard. There was not a play where I didn't go hard. I went hard. Why? Because I got my body in condition to do that during the game. Two, because I always had younger receivers behind me that were watching me, that if I slacked off and didn't want to practice, they were going to want to do the same thing after a while. So I made it my business to go out there and practice hard. Even the days I didn't feel like practicing, I went out there and I practiced hard. I just think that means something in today's game, where everyone sees the highlight reels of guys going out there and play, but they don't see the behind the scenes stuff. Practicing means something to me. Now, it may mean something different to D-Hop or Jefferson or Chase, but to me, practice means something, because to me, practice was the hardest thing for me that week. The game was going to be easy. Why? Because I'm prepared now. I'm prepared, so the game for me is easy. Practice is what is going to be hard for me, because I'm trying to get myself mentally focused and emotionally focused and physically focused.
And I see both sides of it, because I also come from a school of thought of it. I think Mike Vrabel does as well. I think Mike Vrabel at training camp or at practices, rookie minicamp, whatever it might be, he always talks about how much he values practice. And I look at it like, practice how you play. Be a role model for the people behind you. But I also look at it like, how much has it affected Hassan Haskins that Derrick Henry doesn't practice? How much did it affect Harold Landry that Jeffrey Simmons was doing his own little thing in the sand pit last summer at training camp? And I know that was different. That was a contract dispute. And Mike Vrabel said, hey, Jeffrey Simmons is on his own practice program. But
Derrick goes hard when he's in practice. There's never been this deal about, well, Derek doesn't like practicing, or when he does practice, he's not going hard. Derek goes hard, and he's practicing most of the time. The only reason he's not practicing is when Vrabel chooses to take him out.
Yeah.
Not because Derrick Henry says, I'm not practicing, I'm not doing
and he's
this.
He's got a legendary work ethic.
Exactly.
You know, all these state-of-the-art, cutting-edge kind of training things. The cryo, remember
cryotherapy.
Yeah, all of these things. I mean,
the Antonio Brown School of Therapy.
Yeah.
Right. So I would not put him in that category of doesn't like the practice, stuff like that. I just wonder about Burks, who's still in that impressionable stage of his pro career.
But
right?
How does this mesh with what we believe about Mike Vrabel? How
right.
It doesn't.
Because
Vrabel
knows D-Hop. Vrabel knows D-Hop.
Uh-huh.
Knows
Kelly
what makes him tick. Tim Kelly
D-hop.
Does too. So they knew this when they got him. They're obviously not that worried about it.
And also, when you have that big of a need for a receiver, sometimes you can afford to look past certain things you normally wouldn't.
Yeah.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins to the Titans. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.